Welcome to Federal Insights, Improving Digital Investigations in Government, sponsored by Nuix. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
Dozens of federal agencies do investigations of one sort or another. They're expanding the sources of data they use and increasingly adding data analytics to their mix of investigative tools. For some perspective on this, I spoke with the chief scientist and managing director for the Science, Technology Assessment and Analytics team at the Government Accountability Office, Dr. Timothy Persons. In some sense, investigations have always been about gathering data of one sort, but I think when we talk about data in the investigative setting nowadays, people mean data in the sense of computer-readable material and also the analytical aspect of it, which is something, you know, just coming into its advent. So what are you seeing in terms of trends related to data in the investigative setting? And we can cover what you've seen across the federal government as a GAO auditor, but also the GAO itself, in some sense, is an investigative agency.
Yeah, so you're exactly right, Tom. The investigative game today is and has always been about data. This is just about the use of these convergent technologies. You know, you think about the ubiquitous nature of Wi-Fi or internet connectivity, as well as computing resources, and then the algorithms that have come along and have changed our lives and our mobile devices and all that. So it really, I think what's changed is the computing infrastructure, the data infrastructure, and things like that to support, ideally, more and better investigative outcomes among the community. And this is both within GAO and across the federal government. When you look at the key data challenge for both the GAO and the federal government, it really is a sufficiency question, and that's both in the quality and the quantity of the not just the data, but the information that's yielded from the data that can be used to support an investigative outcome that's a good one. In other words, we don't want to send people to jail unjustly. So you want it to be a very solid data-driven, but that data has to be converted into information, and that information converted into knowledge, and that knowledge presented in a court setting, and hopefully the system, the jury, the judge makes a wise decision. So you get up to the ultimate goal is support to decisions, support to adjudications that are good outcomes. And so that's where the data challenge are, that not all data necessarily pertain to, you know, pushing up that value chain from data all the way into wisdom and better decisions. And so that's where we are today with it's a double-edged sword. Data is a blessing and a curse, and it can be a curse if you have more of a naive approach to doing it. If you do have, the good news is there are entities doing it and succeeding. It's just changing the nature of the approach because there's just so much of it. It's coming so quickly. And the needs are great to, again, have a perfectly balanced scale and a just society and so on. So it's a very high threshold, as it needs to be. And I think that's the burden today for our investigators.
And investigators, I guess the term can be broadened in some sense. If you are, say, auditing a program, and you want to make sure that it is effective. It may not be a criminal investigation or some kind of malfeasance you're trying to find, but simply, is this doing what it's supposed to be doing, and is the agency operating it in the right way? And so there's lots of data sources you could bring in other than what is in financial systems, for example, of the government itself, to understand that bigger picture. And then you've got to have the right sources.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Tom. It goes to that sufficiency issue and treating things, as you're saying, like we have an investigative team at GAO, and they do a lot of very nice work to help do things and support Congress's needs in the investigatory realm, right? And on the other hand, we have a large group of auditors, as you know, and it is essentially that mission is trying to analyze programs, really looking for that waste, right? When you think about fraud, waste, abuse, sometimes those things are mashed together, but they're different. And looking at waste and coming up with or identifying economies and efficiencies to be made is really a data to wisdom transformation that needs to happen in as reliable a manner as possible, in an accountable manner. We at GAO literally have accountability as our middle name. And so you need to be able to approve and show and do that. And you need to do that as in a reasonable amount of time, because you don't have forever. These are key questions that we need to serve, whether on an investigatory side or on our performance auditing or financial auditing side.
And I'm thinking of a program like, say, food stamps, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, one that's always being looked at because you want to make sure that the right people are getting the right benefit and using it in a way that the program allows and not in ways that it does not specifically disallow. And I think over the decades, probably the sources of information, the ability to compare different patterns has greatly increased on a program like that, such that maybe we're getting closer to being able to fine-tune how that whole program is operated. I'm not putting that the words in your mouth, but that's the kind of program that comes to mind, I think of, that can be enhanced with more data and more analytics. Fair?
Right, Tom. Yes, not unfair. It's very true. And, improper payments has been, and the SNAP program is just part of that. Again, making sure the monies are being allocated appropriately, spent appropriately, everything you said. It's just a form of the improper payments, and that's inclusive of fraud that we work on, but also these other programs where, we just want to make sure that payments are, and we have payment integrity and things like that, that payments are being done. And over a decade, we're talking about, ranging from documentation errors to outright fraud. You're talking about over $1.5 trillion. So as the Comptroller General has talked about. So yes, it's a big deal because there's large dollars behind that. There are large programs like SNAP, and so much of the SNAP program ultimately results in some kind of monetary transaction or value transaction in some way. That's data, and that can be tracked, and then that you can see patterns of what is appropriate spending for SNAP, so that those who are targeted for the benefit and would yield that would be readily identifiable versus any of the more fraudulent or nefarious use is a different pattern. And so the data and analytics that are out there today can and are seriously helping so many things. One other quick example is in the Office of the Inspector General of HHS, they've been doing some great work on, remember the opioid crisis, we had another public health crisis in the last several years as well, and it was just tracking down where were those script doctors that would just automatically write a script for the opioids and things, and they were just they were easily identifiable in the data. Investigators were able to see that and implement law enforcement measures and help mitigate that challenge.
Dr. Timothy Persons, Chief Scientist and Managing Director of the Science, Technology Assessment and Analytics Team at the GAO. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Complex investigations often involve multiple suspects, many devices, and large volumes of data. They can cross agency, state, and national boundaries. Nuix empowers government organizations worldwide to simply and quickly find truth in our digital world. Nuix software gives your agency one window into all of your evidence, even with complex sources and growing data volumes. You can beat the case queues and resolve more investigations. Nuix, finding truth in a digital world. NUIX.com/WTOP.
Welcome back to our interview with Dr. Timothy Persons, Chief Scientist and Managing Director of the Science, Technology Assessment, and Analytics Team at the GAO. Our topic is data and analytics in the investigative setting. So in many ways, the first challenge in expanding use of data is the curation part, is knowing what data is going to be useful in the particular case, and then ensuring that that data is a quality source that will yield good information, because you can't get great information out of bad data.
That's exactly right. So as we see across the federal government or in our society, there's a big concern globally about misinformation. So just having data out there on the internet doesn't make it true. So you really do need to have some way to triage the data that you have access to. You need to have a way to verify it or maintain its veracity. And you really do need to have a governance strategy on that data that you're curating, is the right word, and have a governance strategy that allows for maximum access to those who need it and according to, you know, legal statutory authorities and so on, but also then limit it to those who shouldn't have access to that. And so not all data are the same, and I think, you know, classically from a chief information officer perspective, you know, all data is like it's zeros and ones running across my computing infrastructure, whether it's networks or switches or boxes and so on. But the chief data officer perspective is different. It's saying, well, that's potential or perhaps real asset. It's a renewable asset. I could go back to that data source later on. I could reuse it, add to it, et cetera. But curating it and doing it and using it does require really a data-centric strategy. And that's something that there's varying degrees. We're on our own journey at GAO on this as well, is how do we think about not only data governance, but the strategy toward that governance so that we do that right triage. What are those things that we need to keep? What are those things that we don't? How do we verify? How do we utilize? Who has access? Who does not? All according to applicable law and, of course, ethical principles.
And maybe discuss the challenge of knowing when you have the complete data that you need to do the particular investigation or solve the particular problem at hand. You don't want to have to deal with tons and tons of data that is not relevant, but you don't want to leave out that essential element that you might need that is relevant. So what's a good strategy there?
Yeah, no, it's great. I think it really is keeping the end in mind. What is that threshold that I mentioned, that word sufficiency at the top of the conversation? What is that threshold you need to cross in order to be satisfactory and say, if I'm an investigator, let's say in a law enforcement, you know, criminal-like context, do I have enough to take this to the prosecutor? That's, you know, if I'm an investigator, I need to walk through the channels and turn it over to, let's say, a U.S. attorney, and that attorney needs to adjudicate and say, do I even think you have a real case here? Because, you know, those prosecutors don't like to lose, and nor should they. Their job is to make sure, if they're using the powers of the state to put someone in jail, that it's done properly and according to constitutional law. So I think, you know, keeping the end in mind is important, because if you don't do that, you can just walk forward, collect just about anything, and you might spend most of your time just trying to sort out and filter things. You know, I come from a science and engineering background, and I think all the investigators I've met or come across are like the science engineers. There's never enough data, right? They always they would want to collect and do things forever to be, you know, extra certain on something, let's say. But in this case, you don't have that. You have a finite amount of time. You have other cases you have to deal with. It really is a workflow processing type conversation in one sense. It's, again, that data transformation into wisdom process. And do you have enough, what engineers would call enough nines, right? Are you 99.99% sure or 9999% sure, right? In other words, like how certain do you have to be and how much does it take to do that? But that is the way it's done, and I think it's both exciting, but it's if you lack that data-centric thinking, that strategy, and that governance model, and if you don't have that, what am I really trying to answer right now, that discrete key question, then you could be running all over randomly and not end up where you need to be, and then you might have a weak case, or you might be at risk of accusing someone of a crime that they didn't commit or what have you.
And discuss, if you would, the governance piece, because that's kind of essential to being able to safely handle data, to share data. And in some ways, it seems that governance is as much a cultural issue as a legal or statutory or regulatory one.
It's absolutely that. I would say, in fact, the statutory regulatory are, you know, of course, overriding hard guardrails to live within. But I would say the hardest part, in my experience, has been cultural. And so just that the idea of who has right to know things is critically important. Take, for example, the 9/11 report, right? The commission report was saying, look, you know, the U.S. intelligence community had agencies that needed to share more, you know, CIA, FBI, et cetera. And that was true. But they also they live in an environment where they do have to have need to know on that, but how do you use that judiciously so that there's a good part of collection of information that really needs to be in the category of you have a responsibility to provide that, right, to make for better cases, better investigations, better outcomes. On the other hand, there are certain things that to protect constitutional due process, to protect privacy and civil liberties, et cetera, you do need to have protections around that, and you need to really think through who needs to have access, when, and what are the criteria to do that, and why. From the investigative perspective, you want to have frictionless access to those things that you need to build your case or to prove out the question, is this a suspect or not, let's say, or do we think this is plausible, or is this something we've passed to the attorney or not? So I think having that data strategy, that data governance is critical in all things. So keeping the end in mind, thinking about what data we need to get there, and then curating and managing that in terms of accessibility and usability is the key way forward.
And just a quick question, in GAO's own work, when you are getting databases from agencies that you are auditing, I mean, you're in the legislative branch, they're in the executive right. branch for the most part. Does that issue come up, or are they pretty much, yeah, go ahead, take a look?
Yes. So, right, naturally, there's what I call constitutional friction in a lot of our work, right? GAO does have very broad access authorities to federal data, but that doesn't give us a right to necessarily go in and get the entire, something like the IRS database for some reason, for a job. It really is based around, our access is built around the questions that our congressional clients are asking as part of their oversight function. So yes, we do have that that access challenge. I think one of the things that's we're also seeing is the power with our work, because we will, and oftentimes we go through a process that might involve some friction in terms of getting that, and oftentimes we do, or we sharpen the question so we're not asking for, more than is necessary to achieve our objectives. But I think one of the things that we're seeing also is the power of things like open data and things that are already put out. There is a Data Act, and the government hasn't been as good as putting things out there, that public information that should be able to be put out there. It's been a long process, but as that goes on, and as you have external, even non-federal data, there's a lot of, I think, power in terms of what's out there in the open that can help oversight questions even at GAO to meet our quality standards. We do operate and have a data reliability standard and process and a team of methodologists that help us deal with that. And so, you can't just – we do have that sort of veracity type filter that has to be applied. But nonetheless, I think in a datafied world, as the chief data officers would call it, there's a lot of open opportunity. In addition to that, a special access we might have into federal program information, there's also a lot of external.
Dr. Timothy Persons, Chief Scientist and Managing Director of the Science, Technology Assessment, and Analytics Team at the GAO. We'll return with the third and final segment of this interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Government agencies are spending trillions of dollars on COVID-19 pandemic relief. It's vital to uncover and stamp out fraud, waste, and abuse in these programs. With Nuix software, your agency's forensic technicians, investigators, fraud analysts, and auditors can collaborate across all phases of an investigation. Nuix gives you one platform with a single window into all the evidence. Nuix, finding truth in a digital world. NUIX.com/COVID.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Dr. Timothy Persons, Chief Scientist and Managing Director of the Science, Technology Assessment, and Analytics Team at the Government Accountability Office. We've been discussing data and analytics in the federal investigative setting. And putting on your Chief Scientist hat here for a moment, what are some of the technologies and strategies you're looking at what are you seeing other agencies do to bring all of this data together and then actually use it? Because you do need some technology to make it all blend so that it can be analyzed analytically.
Right. I like to call it data alchemy, because you really are trying to spin that gold of wisdom toward better decisions out of the data And the infrastructure and the tools that now exist to do that that didn't, you know, when I started my federal service, you know, obviously cloud is a baseline, and cloud IT actually comes in layers itself. There's sort of the infrastructural layer of the cloud where you can compute a lot, and that's where you now don't have to just be limited by, you know, the computer box on your desktop of the power. You can scale to the problem size, and you can turn it on and off. It's really turning your IT into a utility instead of using or buying just, you know, X number of computer boxes to do that. So that's exciting because you can dial up more compute if you need it as you have these massive volumes of data and so on. So that's one area. The other area is, I think, when you move up from that infrastructural layer, you really are at the platform. That's where I think a lot of the alchemy is happening and will continue to happen because we work, for example, on a data science bench that allows us to pull from various sources that are well governed in a way that in a conventional way we would not have had as strong a governance. And cloud brings that as well. So you have a cloud-enabled governance and platform upon which you can pull, almost think of it like a chemistry lab where you can pull this material off the shelf or that other thing there, do your chemical experiment, as it were, and see if it comes out and can be verified and proven and so on. So that's powerful. And then really then the next layer up is the software, and that's where you can just do so many things now. The tool sets have just exploded in terms of how what's available to our investigators to work on things. So all of those workflows of processing, I think just the power now of visualizing data, which also comes from, you know, the power of the computing behind it and the computer chips in like gaming boxes and things like that now can give you fantastic visualization capabilities that didn't exist, you know, just not too long ago. Is a very exciting era for investigators of all stripes, be they in the criminal side, fraud mitigation side, or certainly our analysts and auditors at GAO. So all of the cloud is I think the big thing underneath that, but then the algorithms and processing, and again that applying that policy and data governance within that area is what's coming. And this is all, by the way, Tom, before 5G is coming on we're just now at the very tip of that, and we're going to see a lot more data coming in with fantastic opportunities and new applications and new ways to do our jobs.
Dr. Timothy Persons, Chief Scientist and Managing Director of the Science, Technology Assessment and Analytics Team at the Government Accountability Office. To hear this interview again or to share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, Improving Digital Investigations in Government, sponsored by Nuix on Federal News Network.
Complex investigations often involve multiple suspects, many devices, and large volumes of data. They can cross agency, state, and national boundaries. Nuix empowers government organizations worldwide to simply and quickly find truth in our digital world. Nuix software gives your agency one window into all of your evidence, even with complex sources and growing data volumes. You can beat the case queues and resolve more investigations. Nuix, finding truth in a digital world. NUIX.com/WTOP.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network.
For news on the federal pay raise.
To learn how other agencies handle IT modernization.
To see how Congress funds my agency.
For changes to my TRICARE benefits.
Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.